You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
All right, let's get our Bibles open to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 is where we will be today. And today we start a summer series called Wonder Working Power. You can see that behind me and beside me. I'm excited for this Wonder Working Power. If you're not aware, if you haven't heard again online or from previous weeks, for the next 9 weeks, Lord willing, we're going to be studying the miracles of Jesus. The next 9 weeks on the miracles of Jesus. I'm very excited about this. I get to kick off this series today, obviously, and hand it off to our amazing teaching team. And then the plan is I'll be kind of wrapping that up again at the end of the summer as well. The goal for this series is threefold, simple but very, very important and powerful. Number one, we want to increase our awe and worship of Jesus Christ. That's the overarching goal within this. Why? There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. He's just the best. He is absolutely wonderfully beautiful and majestic. He is awesome. Of course, he is the Son of God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Secondly, we want to grow in our love and devotion for Jesus because, again, he is so wonderful. He is worthy of our love, our devotion, the only one who is, and of our praise. And thirdly, we ultimately want to be transformed more into the image of Jesus Christ. As we are saved in Christ, the purpose of that is we are changed into Christ. We study him, we love him, we learn about him, we're impacted by, in this case, the miracles that he has done, and we want to become more like him and then have our lives live and bear fruit for him. So we're going to start today in Luke chapter 5. As I said, our sermon title is this, Wonder Working Cleansing. Wonder Working Cleansing. In our text today, Jesus will perform an extraordinary supernatural cleansing of a leper. This is a huge deal because leprosy was a filthy, dirty disease in its context, and to receive such a healing or cleansing, listen, would be the difference again of a life, a whole new beginning of a whole new life. That's how significant it would be to have leprosy and then to be cleansed or healed of leprosy. I hope that gets our attention today. I hope this gets our interest today. And ultimately, as we'll see throughout this message, it's the physical healing that points to our greatest need of our spiritual healing, as every single one of us, every human ever born, has been born covered with spiritual leprosy because of the reality of sin. So we're going to get into our text today. I don't plan to be complicated today or super long today, but we do pray that we will be thorough and we will be engaging. Luke 5, verse 12. Luke 5, verse 12. Love so much your attentiveness. Bible's open. Awesome. It says this, when he, Jesus, was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, wow, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Awesome. And he charged him to tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. Verse 16 is not technically part of our text, but I love it, so I'm going to read it. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Beside that, I have awesome, because it is. All right, let's jump into our text today again. Not complicated, as I said. Simple, but I pray helpful. Number one, notice this. We see this, a severe condition. We see a severe condition in verse 12, the first half of verse 12. While he, Jesus, was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Let's stop right there. When the Bible uses the term leprosy or lepra in the Greek, it appears to be referring to a wide array of possible skin diseases, including in our day, which we know as Hansen's disease. So it's difficult to know the exact type of leprosy that is being referred to again here in Luke's gospel, but we do know this, that Luke, who wrote this gospel, Luke was a doctor. And so Dr. Luke helps us out a little bit here. And Dr. Luke tells us that this man was, notice, verse 12, full. He was full of leprosy. So what we know here then, that this was a severe case of leprosy. For a man to be full of leprosy, this was a very, very serious condition, and he was literally going to be covered with leprosy. Now, a lot of people in our day still believe that leprosy is a disease that causes the flesh to rot. That is simply not true. But it is a disease that creates lesions or swollen areas on the skin. It's a brutal disease also that can attack the nerves. And so the greatest danger then of leprosy in this case is that it acts as an anesthetic. And as it acts as an anesthetic, it creates numbness to the extremities, including as well to things like the eyes, the ears, and the nose. Leprosy can also cause severe muscle weakness, skin lesions that do not heal. It creates damage that is progressive and permanent, again, which can be pretty awful. We think of it this way. Pain, again, physically speaking, pain is a God-designed protection for the human body. It's something that maybe we take for granted. For example, we reach out to touch a pot. It is super hot. We instantly pull back. Like, we just react. Our body senses the nerves, again, feel the pain. The protection is you pull it back before you hold on to it too long. You would literally be burned and create damage again upon your sin. Leprosy doesn't have that ability. Leprosy reaches out. They do not feel the burning hot pan. They literally, their fingers will start to burn and melt again until they look down and see the physical reaction of what is happening. Again, we feel water temperature before we splash it on our face. We check the water before we jump into the shower to making sure we're not going to hurt ourselves or various situations. Leprosy, again, has no such ability. I relate to this a little bit again. When I was 5 years old, I was making Jell-O with my mom. And I was making, I think I've made Jell-O since then. I don't remember that. But anyway, I was making Jell-O. I was 5 years old, and you use boiling hot water. Somehow, some way, I messed up, spilled the boiling water, and went all over my stomach. I lost two layers of skin. When you're 5 years old, that is very traumatic and very painful. To this day, I'm very, very careful around boiling water. It was traumatic for me as a five-year-old. All these years later, again, as recently as yesterday, we were boiling some corn, and I was very careful, right? Listen, and all that to say, again, to have leprosy, you would not have that awareness. It would just happen, and then all the damage that would take place. This is why one doctor called leprosy a painless hell. A painless hell. And all of this helps us to imagine the context of verse 12 where it says this man was full of leprosy. It's very important for us to live in the text today, church. Brothers and sisters, we have to find ourselves here in this passage and imagine this man's plight. We have to assume he had leprosy for years. Imagine his appearance covered with leprosy. It would have been awful, again, to the average person. Also this, imagine his emotional pain. Imagine, again, the loneliness that he would feel. Because if that wasn't bad enough, to be a leper meant you were ostracized. Here's what Leviticus 13 commands, again, regarding those who suffer from leprosy. The leprous person who has this disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. He shall cover his upper lip and cry out wherever he goes, "Unclean, unclean." Imagine that. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Wow. Wow. Again, it helps us to understand the reality of this man's context. So place yourself in the shoes of a leper. Everywhere you went, you'd be shouting, "Unclean, unclean." Like, just imagine that in your day today. Imagine having to walk through a mall, again, just by case. And you're walking through the mall, if you're even allowed to go in there, and you're yelling, "Unclean, unclean," everywhere you go. That was this man's life. Just horrific. Not just physically, obviously emotionally, and all that goes with that, and of course the spiritual adding to that as well. And if that wasn't enough, lepers would be thought of and referred to again by people all through society as the living dead. This helps us understand what we're entering into in Luke 5, verse 12. We see a very severe condition. We see a very severe situation. This leads us to point number two, which is this, leads to a serious desperation. A serious desperation. Look again at verse 12. And when he, now the leper, he saw Jesus, look at this verse, he fell on his face and he begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, this part of this verse is very moving to me. Again, we must live in the text. We must seek to feel and imagine what was happening as this is being described for us. This man, his continual week after week, month after month, year after year, utter humiliation leading to utter devastation. He's in this place. This is his plight. This is his life. Every day, this is what he deals with. But then notice in verse 12, he sees Jesus and something changes. Maybe he heard stories of Jesus. Maybe he heard stories of Jesus' power. Maybe he heard stories of Jesus' compassion. Assuming he heard stories of Jesus' healing, he knew something. This Jesus of Nazareth was someone different. There was something about this Jesus, again, of Nazareth that he was drawn to and gave him tremendous courage to do what he did in verse 12. Because he sees Jesus and something changes, maybe for the first time in months or years, maybe for the first time ever in this way, he senses hope. There's a glimmer or a glimpse or a ray of hope as he sees Jesus Christ. And again, imagine the courage it would take. I mean, lepers were not allowed to go into a concentrated, populated area. So if it was, he's breaking the rules. If not, still takes tremendous courage. He approaches Jesus in his desperation, in his utter brokenness. And verse 12 tells us three things happens. He falls on his face, utterly broken. He begs Jesus, utterly desperate and devastated, utterly humiliated. And he begs Jesus to cleanse him and to heal him. Now notice the leper did not doubt Jesus' ability to heal, but he did wonder about Jesus' willingness to heal him. Very interesting. And right here we have a powerful picture of desperation and brokenness. This man places his entire life, again, literally at the feet of Jesus and in the hands of Jesus. And what do we know about our Savior Jesus Christ? What do we know about his nature and who he is? We know right here in this situation, this is a circumstance that the heart of Jesus Christ will find utterly irresistible. Jesus did not come to heal the healthy, he said. He came to heal the sick, ultimately spiritually. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came. And Luke chapter 4, we can read that as he quotes Isaiah 61. He came to set free the oppressed. We know from Scripture the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, Psalm 34. We know from James 4 that God opposes the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. We know from Psalm 51 that the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit, O God, you will not despise. We know from Isaiah 57 that the Lord chooses to dwell with the lowly. The pride he pushes far off, but the lowly God loves to dwell with. So this is a powerful picture here in this text. Listen, ultimately, the physical need for us pointing to the spiritual. For every single person who looks upon Jesus with eyes of faith, for every single person who feels their personal brokenness and desperation, for every single person in that state approaches Jesus with courage and faith and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. These are the people that God works in. These are the people that God chooses to save. These are the people that will find, again, the power of life resonating in their souls, again, now and forever. But notice, too, this is also why people are not saved. People are not saved because in their stubbornness and their blindness and their pride, they do not see their sin. They do not see their sin. They do not see their brokenness. They do not see their brokenness. They do not see their devastation. They do not see their devastation. They do not see their need. They do not see their need. They reject Jesus Christ. Why do I need Christ when I myself am my Savior? This is the devastation of the world that we live in. This is the pride of the West right now, which is a disease upon the heart of so many millions of souls. It has always been this way. It seems to ramp up even more in these last days. So many people, again, unwilling to admit their brokenness and their sin, and that is why they reject Jesus Christ. Now listen, this is also why that often, the rich and the healthy do not see Christ. Because the rich and the healthy do not need Christ, because not always, but often, Jesus himself said, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't saying it was impossible, but Jesus says, it's the rich and the healthy where life is good. We have everything. Why do I need a God when I myself am serving as that? I have everything. I am secure. I have no need. That is the plague. That is the devastation upon so many, again, in our day, in our society, in this way. This is also why, again and again and again, spiritually speaking, desperation so often leads to deliverance. Because it's the poor in spirit. It's those who mourn over sin. It's the brokenhearted that see the spiritual leprosy of their own soul that run to Jesus Christ because they cannot save themselves. It's desperation again and again and again that leads to deliverance. And it's the hard hearts that so often, again, prevents them from recognizing the reality of where they are and the reality of who they need. We see a severe condition here. We see a serious desperation. And this leads us to point number three, a supernatural intervention. A supernatural intervention. Look at verse 13 now. It says this, and Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Let's stop right there. For a reader in the first century to hear the story told in any form, that would be absolutely shocking what was just read in verse 13 there. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Remember, Jesus did not have to touch him. Jesus could have spoken the word. Obviously, he's done that many times, and he will do that many times throughout his life in the Gospels as he performs amazing, wonder-working power of miracles. The tradition of the day to touch a leper was to be unclean yourself. Jesus, of course, fully knew this because Jesus knows everything. But what does Jesus do? He intentionally, willingly, lovingly reaches out his hand and touches this man. Mark's gospel gives us a fuller picture on the screen for you. In Mark's gospel, it says, and Jesus moved with pity, or another word for compassion and love. Moved with pity and compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched this man and said to him, I will be clean. Again, love was living the text here. It's so powerful. Due to this leprosy, it's very likely this man had not been touched in years, if not decades. Not been touched. It's been documented that babies die without physical touch. Literally, babies will die apart from physical touch. Jesus reached out, and in this incredibly beautiful moment, and he touched this man. I want us to see that before there was supernatural healing, there was supernatural love. And this is the heart of our Savior. This is the unbelievable, incredible love that Jesus Christ has. It's right here when Jesus reached out and touches this man who hasn't been touched in likely years and years and years. He reaches out, he touches them. When he touches them, he says, I'm with you, I'm for you. He says, I love you. This is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the love that changes lives forever. I don't think there's a truth more powerful, more overwhelming, more needed, more amazing, more satisfying to be a human being on this earth and to sense and hear the reality of God's voice and the touch of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit reaches out and says, my child, I am with you, I love you, I am for you. The world has no clue. The world cannot do anything new. When you are aware of the very presence of God and he is so close to you in your sin, in your struggle, in your desperation, in your brokenness, in your plight, in your circumstance, whatever it is, and you sense the literal favor and love of God talking to you and reaching down to you and saying, child, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you, and I love you. There's nothing we need more than that. And this is what Jesus Christ, again, is communicating right here through his physical touch, his powerful healing, and of course, we understand, is also included within the life-changing reality of the gospel. And then notice in verse 13, too, Jesus stretches out his hand and touched him and says, I will be clean. Wow. Jesus instantly places the man's greatest fear aside, the man's greatest fear, are you willing to heal me? And Jesus says, I am. The I am is willing. I will be clean. Again, I want you to feel and see the heart of Jesus Christ here. I want you to feel his heart again in his compassion. Listen, Jesus will not, he will not turn away the heart that sincerely seeks him. Jesus will not turn away the heart that comes in their brokenness and in their desperation and sincerely seeks him by faith, again, for him to be the only one who can ultimately bring the healing, especially when it comes to the healing of the heart. And now we see again, and now the supernatural power, look at verse 13, it says, and immediately the leprosy left him. Wow, 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 wow. Immediately the leprosy left him. Mark's gospel adds, and he was made clean. Wonder working cleansing, okay? The healing is instantaneous. The healing then is full. The healing is complete. The healing is perfect. This man, a leper for years, in an instant, he is a leper no more. Cleansed, healed, made new, perfect again by the wonder-working power of the Lord Jesus Christ, his touch and his word. Again, loved ones, live in the text right now. Live in the text. Can you imagine this moment? Imagine being this man. Imagine being this man, the pain, the grief, the devastation, the brokenness, the sickness, being ostracized, the loneliness, the cast away. There I am, unclean, unclean, unclean. In this moment, you are made whole and new physically. Imagine the joy. Imagine the excitement. Imagine the elation. Imagine now he goes from saying, unclean, unclean. Now all of a sudden, he's parading around, I'm clean, I'm clean. I'm clean, I'm clean. So interesting, eh? Jesus heals him, and Jesus charges him to tell no one. Good luck with that, eh? Good luck with that, right? Right, right? Why does Jesus, in multiple accounts in the Gospels, charge people them not to say anything? I think it's just the commotion. I mean, our text says that. The news spread abroad. Jesus can't get a moment to himself. Jesus, him even has to withdraw and pray to regain the power from the Father to go back and minister, being fully God and fully man. But you cannot stop this guy from proclaiming the reality of what just happened to him again. Imagine the joy in this moment. Unclean, unclean, in utter devastation, humiliation. And now I'm clean. I'm clean. Oh man, what an incredible, incredible moment this is. This man's life has changed forever. And this is what Jesus Christ came to do, to change lives forever, the supernatural intervention of only the Son of God and what he can do. Awesome, amazing, and wondrous. And that leads us to our fourth and final point, which is this. Now a life-changing application. A life-changing application. Look at verse 14 now. And he charged him to tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, to be healed of their infirmities. This miracle provides us with some beautiful, powerful, and life-changing application for us to, again, finish with here. On the screen beside me and behind me, some life application principles I want you to be incredibly aware of. Number one, leprosy is to the body what sin is to the soul. Leprosy is to the body what sin is to the soul. Leprosy in this story is an outward visible sign of an innermost spiritual condition. Leprosy, physically speaking, was slow moving, it was insidious and horribly destructive. That's exactly what sin is to our spiritual souls. Sin is steady, it is slow moving, it is insidious, and it is devastatingly and horribly destructive. Every single person ever born has been born again with original sin. Children, babies prove this again so fast within their lives. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are depraved on our own. All of us prove this within our lives. This is the greatest curse and greatest devastation upon all of humanity, every single person that, again, who has ever lived. What spiritual, again, what leprosy is to the body, that's what sin is to the soul. Again, we must see, if we will be saved by Jesus Christ, we must understand and admit all of us are spiritual lepers. Every single one of us is a spiritual leper because of the sin inherent within us. This could be a game changer right now for some listening here, Overflow, Orangeville, wherever listening. You've never come to the place you've fully understood or could admit that you suffer from spiritual leprosy. The Bible's very, very clear. No one does good, no, not one. All have sinned. Not one sin gets into heaven. We have all sinned. We're not going to heaven by ourselves. We will not get there because of our spiritual leprosy. You see, the man in the text, in his physical sickness, he recognized, obviously, his condition. He knew he could not save himself. We are the same spiritually. We are spiritual lepers. You, me, I'm a spiritual leper apart from Jesus Christ. And I will die because of my condition of sin, and so will you. The seriousness of what we face, we are all spiritually dead. Let me just be as clear as I can. Every single human who's ever lived apart from Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. The second life application principle is this. Jesus Christ is the only cure for spiritual leprosy. And that's a great spot for an amen. Because this is what changing life. Jesus Christ is the only cure for spiritual leprosy. So this is what this story teaches us. See, what does the man do physically? The man puts all his eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ. The man places his faith in Jesus Christ for his healing. He does that and he was healed. The courage it took, then his brokenness, his devastation. What do we also learn here too, right? We learn this. Listen, there is no sin too great for Jesus. There is no person too far for Jesus Christ to heal and to save. There is no situation that Jesus Christ cannot reach into. I mean, I think this is what leprosy was used of in the day. Too far gone, too much. No, not even close. Listen, I'll say it again. There is no sin too great for Jesus Christ. You're like, Robbie, you don't know my past. Well, you don't know my past either, okay? Maybe your past is worse than my past. Your mind, Jesus Christ is greater than your past. Jesus Christ died. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and he said, it is finished, he meant it. What did he do? What is finished? Sin has been paid for. Every single person that comes to him, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how bad it is. Jesus Christ's payment was in full and satisfactory in the eyes of the Father. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're forever cleansed. You are forever washed. You are forever innocent. You are forever free. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is that he shed in love for you and me, for all those who accept eternal life by faith and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus Christ, he's the only one who can cure us of our spiritual leprosy. No other religion, no other philosophy, no other human technique, no other self-help book. There's nothing else in this world. Again, there's nothing else, no one else that can change the human heart as Jesus Christ can for all those who come to him with sincere faith and being washed by his blood. Jesus Christ is the only answer. He is that good. He is that great. He is that awesome because he is the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. And listen, and some today you can be saved. You can be for the first time ever. You're seeing your leprosy spiritually and you're seeing Jesus Christ with the eyes of it. He is that good. He is that awesome. He is that real. He is that glorious. He is the King of Kings and he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it because that's how awesome he is. Jesus Christ is love and compassion. He is so merciful, filled with pity. He will not turn away those again who sincerely go to him. And that's our third life application principle. Jesus is willing to cleanse. Jesus is willing to cleanse. He does not turn away the sincere heart. We've talked about this. He heals those who know they need to be cured. I wonder, is your heart moved today? Is your heart moved today? Maybe for the first time ever. Maybe you've been sitting in church for a couple of minutes, a couple of weeks, or a couple of decades. Is your heart moved today for the first time ever? Ever? Now you see, Jesus is willing to cleanse. Are you willing to be healed? Are you willing to be saved? Are you willing to be forgiven? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to take your spiritual leprous state and present it to Christ and say, God, if you're willing, you can make me clean? That's what's required, to repent of our sin and to embrace the reality and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he's the only one who can cleanse, and he is willing to do it. If we recognize our brokenness and our spiritual bankruptcy and poverty, we will be cleansed and healed, and we will be granted everlasting life. A spiritual cancer plagues our soul. Every human ever born, a spiritual cancer plagues our soul. Jesus is the only one who can heal you. You know, our world obsesses over temporal solutions. Our world is so dumb. It's so stupid. It just continues to build. If I can just make my life a little happier right now, if I can preserve my strength for one more minute, but then you die, then what, bro? A couple more minutes now, a little more strength, a little more food, a little more fun, a little more, you still die, bro. You still die, then what are you gonna do? No, life better now, a couple minutes, gonna live a little, why? Then you die, then what? What's your answer before Christ for all of eternity? A couple cars, a couple things in the house, some more nice dinner, something like that, then what? Then you face eternity in Jesus Christ, then what, bro? Then what? Dude, the world's so dumb. Do not follow the world. Do not listen to the world. Satan's very clever. He's very clever. People obsessed and so preoccupied. Here and now, here and now, here and now, here and now. Decision now. Decision for this. Decision that. Life better. Life easier. Life more comfortable. More money. More whatever it is. And then you die. And then all of eternity again is in front of us. And that's when the tragedy is happening every day. Every day it's happening right now. Today, millions across this world live for self and the world. And they rejected Jesus Christ, and they presented in front of Christ with a spiritual leprosy, and it's too late. But it's not too late right now. For every single person breathing right now, it's not too late. Every single person here right now, you can get your greatest illness cured forever in the glory and the power again of the blood of Jesus Christ. This, he's so willing to cleanse. But we must go to him and to turn from our sin and to embrace him. Let me just say one more time, the world is so dumb. Do not follow the stupidity of the world. It is so empty, it is so lost, and it's just leading so many people. The prince of the power of the age, Satan, again, the ruler of this temporal world, is leading so many in blindness and then causing them to not be able to see. We have to know, God help us open our eyes that we might live for what actually matters. Takes us to life application point number 4, spiritual healing in Christ must be proclaimed. Spiritual healing in Christ must be proclaimed. Mark's gospel tells us this man went out and told everyone about Jesus Christ after Jesus again charged him not to. But I don't blame the guy. I don't blame the guy. I'm sorry. I just don't blame the guy. I mean, how can you hold it in? All those years, again, we talked about why Jesus might charge people, again, not to say something because, again, just the commotion and just all that was happening, he was kind of on his time and what was going on, but this guy could not hold it in. He's like, listen, I'm clean. This Jesus of Nazareth, he has cured me. Again, he has set me free from my disease of leprosy. And this is us, eh? For all of us who have been saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been healed from spiritual leprosy. If you are alive in Jesus Christ today and you're one of his children, you have been set free from spiritual leprosy. We can't hold it in. We've got to say it. It's too good. It's too good not to. God help us. God help us to do this more and more and more. Again, I want you to know, if you're alive in Jesus Christ right now, you are an informal missionary. All of us are informal missionaries, again, at the very, very, very least. Maybe not a formal missionary. Maybe you're not called overseas in a specific mission program to serve at a specific, again, designated amount of time. But you are an informal missionary, meaning wherever you are, what neighborhood, what workplace, what, again, hobbies that you participate in, what sports you're involved in, what a friend group you have, whatever it is, you are an informal missionary because you have been set free in Jesus Christ from spiritual leprosy, and others need to know. Wherever you find yourself, you have a message to say. I was blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. I was a spiritual leper, now I've been made clean. I am healed forever. I was dead, but now I'm alive. You are an informal missionary. Wherever you find yourself, in every single case, every person alive, you have a message and a story to tell that others might know their path of healing and freedom found, again, by the washing, cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must continue to proclaim Christ. This is what we are called to do, and this is what Jesus Christ has given to us. It cannot stay here. It must. God help us. Amen, church? God help us by your Spirit to have boldness in you that we would care and love, and we would continue to witness and share faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's working in our midst, by the way. He's working. He's working by so many of you, and we're praying for more and more and more of this reality in this church and how awesome that will be, and we're excited for the weeks and months to come on this as well. Leprosy, healing, spiritual leprosy, the blood of Jesus Christ washing us clean. I'm very excited today that we get to conclude this service with the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask if you want to pack up your things quietly right now. I'd like we just kind of get that done, and we can just get ourselves ready and place our hearts in a position to be so mindful of the Lord's Supper that is about to be distributed. And just as we prepare for the reality, again, of what we're about to do to remember the symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, I just want you to look up on the screen here. I want you to see this as part of our application as we transition into the Lord's Supper. Leprosy is to the body what sin is to the soul. Jesus' blood washed our sin completely clean. Only the blood of Jesus can wash our sin away. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only cure for spiritual leprosy. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us whole. The blood of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ, again, he is on the cross. And he says, we said, it is finished. That means we place our faith in Christ. We are made whole. Jesus is willing to cleanse. It's amazing. Jesus dying on the cross, that's him saying, I am willing, be clean. He didn't go there. He wasn't forced. He went willingly. The Gospels tell us that so clearly. He went willingly. This is why he came. He was born to die. When he's on the cross, and again, he is there, and Father, I give up my spirit. He's saying, I am willing. To us, he's saying, be clean through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Spiritual healing in Christ must be proclaimed. Again, as 1 Corinthians 11 says, for often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we remember now of what he's done to be humbled, to be grateful, and then to be sent with this message. We are reminded now, we are humbled by this, I pray, and we are sent now from here with this message of the gospel that others might hear. What I'm praying for today, what I'm, again, really excited about, is that we would hold the symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus. The cups will be stacked one on top of another. You can pull a stack again for those who are saved in Jesus. To hold the symbols of the body and the blood, and to remember, at one time I was a spiritual leper. I was covered with spiritual leprosy and sin. But by the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, I have been cleansed forever, and I will never die. That's humbling. That's humbling, and that's awesome, and that's beautiful. For every single person alive in Jesus Christ, this is what you get to remember today and to thank and to love Jesus Christ. You were covered in spiritual leprosy, covered, disgusting. But Jesus Christ washed away your sin and mine. That is astoundingly powerful, and that must not be taken for granted. If you are not saved in Jesus Christ, please do not take the Lord's Supper. Wow, but you have a lot to think about today. Wow, you have heard a clear understanding of what Jesus Christ came to do. And may you respond to his love by turning from your sin and embracing him by faith, that you can be cured of spiritual leprosy, never to die. This is a sacred thing we do in the Lord's Supper here, Overflow Orangeville. Take it very seriously because it is. Don't mess with this. Don't trifle with it. Paul's very clear in 1 Corinthians 11. We don't play around with this right now. This is a serious moment. It's a beautiful time of remembrance, and for that we rejoice. Communion service, you can come forward right now and go to your stations or prepare. You can come forward right now as you get ready to serve the elements. And as they do that, church, let's just take a moment and let us pray in this. Lord, it's a sacred moment. I'm thankful for the context and the passage of Scripture that leads us to an application of remembering again your death and your blood shed for us, your body given. I pray, Lord, right now, this is a beautiful, powerful time. I pray it's simple, but I pray it's so profound. And I pray that you will lead us in a very special way as we do this now. Yes, Lord, work so much in Hope Bible Church, in the most important parts and most sacredness of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you take the elements. We will receive them in a couple moments together.